Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Now more than ever, Lowe's knows you don't just want a low price, you want the lowest price. And with our lowest price guarantee, you can count on us for competitive prices on all your home improvement projects. If you find a qualifying lower price somewhere else on the same item, we'll match it. Lowe's, we help, you save. Price match applies to same item, current price at qualifying retailers. Exclusions and terms apply. Learn how we'll match price at Lowe's.com/lowest price guarantee.
Hey there, it's JVL. On The Secret Show with Sarah Longwell today, we talked about the verdict. Obviously, it's the only thing to talk about. We talked about the Trump's guilty verdict. Guilty on 34 counts. Now a convicted felon. Here's the show.
To be fair, I did not think it was a slam dunk.
Yeah.
But I thought I thought it could have been a hung jury. I thought an acquittal was basically impossible.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the prosecution had made its case.
So the other thing that George said that I thought was surprising is he thinks that Trump is going to go to jail.
Yeah.
For a period of time.
Yeah, I clocked that.
I wouldn't say that is not the consensus. That is the opposite of the consensus. But, I don't discount his expertise. I don't have an expertise. Here's what I felt. I got off a plane. I had flown back from San Francisco. And so I had landed at Reagan and I was waiting for my Uber and somebody walked by and was like, there's going to be a verdict. Like they said it to somebody else. And I was like, oh my gosh. And picked up my phone and then started refreshing. And when it started coming in, guilty, 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 guilty. And all 34 counts, that is something. That is something. And so, you know, I felt very, you know, there, George was sort of, when he was talking about how, you know, this was, obviously this is how it was going to go. I was like, look, man, we have been, for the last 7 years, we've watched a special counsel investigation. We've watched impeachments. We've watched. I mean, this guy's gotten away with up until the civil trial with E. Jean Carroll and then the Trump org. Like only in the last 2 months have like anybody laid a glove on the guy for all of the things he's done. And so I feel great about the fact that, there's some accountability here. That being said, I maintain my wish that it was the other cases, and I'm glad that this case is over. Glad we can start looking forward, because I do think we got to start prosecuting a case against Trump that is forward looking about what kind of president he would be as a second term. But it's been something to watch the Republicans, folks on the right, act like this is like this grave miscarriage of justice. That is the line.
It's wild. I mean, this is the ultimate end point of what their flirtations with Trumpism have been, which is the destruction of the rule of law, like in the actual attack on the legal system, right?
Yeah, like it's like they're like not that into the law and order. Not that into law and order happening.
No. They are into putting black people in jail. They like to do that. I don't know.
I mean, the histrionics, the rending of garments from the right is really around like the world will never be the same. We now prosecute our political enemies. I don't know if you saw this. I know you and Mary Catherine Hammer are friends, but are friendly. So I'll do the pouncing on this one. But like, she got community noted because she did one of these, like, I don't think it's right to prosecute your political enemies. And it took 2 seconds for somebody to find her having been perfectly happy for Hillary Clinton to get prosecuted. And you know, I just.
Joe Biden didn't do this prosecution, did he?
Joe Biden didn't, although that's what Trump is trying to say.
Right. I mean, so, and also, I just want to be very clear. If Joe Biden had gone to Alvin Bragg and said, you drop this case, that would have been wildly improper.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's an impeachable offense, but it, I mean, we do not want the president of the United States going around to state and local prosecutors and trying to bully them into making decisions which are convenient for him politically. That's like the opposite of what we want the president to do.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, if you want to say Alvin Bragg shouldn't have done this, that's fine. Right. But to try to hang this stuff on Biden, try to make it about our political enemies. This isn't anybody's political enemy. There's one person to blame for all this. And this is my one response. And I would say this to Mary Catherine and anybody else who tries to like, well, but it's a sad day or what else. I mean, you know, Steve Hayes did this too last night, I think.
Yeah. He was with Sarah Isger. Yeah.
Yeah. That guy. My question is he guilty?
Yeah.
That's it. Don't tell me about everything else. Don't tell me about, well, normally wouldn't have been prosecuted. What is he guilty? Because if he's guilty, then none of the rest of that matters. And the only person to blame for putting us in this position, and believe me, I agree, it is not ideal to have a former president and current guy who is running for president being convicted of a felony. That is bad. It is not the fault of the legal system, though. It is the fault of the guy who committed crimes.
Yes.
That's the problem. And when you have somebody, when you elect a criminal, it puts the rest of the institutions and systems in this impossible position where they either have to look the other way and not hold him accountable or try to hold him accountable with all the problems that entails. And we have tried not holding him accountable for 7 years. That hasn't worked great.
Yeah. Hasn't worked great.
Sorry, I don't mean to be hot. I'm not like yelling. I'm not yelling at you. But that's my only response is he guilty? Right? And if your answer is no, then you're saying that the legal process we have is invalid because a jury of his peers in a case which, again, we could just make normative judgments about the case, right? We could say the facts of the case are clear, right? The facts were not actually in dispute. Did he have an adequate defense? Yes, he had an adequate defense. Was the jury selection process proper? Yes, jury selection process was proper, right? I mean, it isn't the case that all jury verdicts are immediately legitimate because there are cases in which, like, a judge acts wildly improperly or prosecution withholds evidence, right? Or there are cases where the facts are in dispute. You know, and one person says, I saw him hold the gun, and the other witness says, no, he didn't have a gun. Right? It isn't but in this case, we can make all of these normative judgments that the process was followed assiduously. And so the only question then is he guilty or not? And if you say no, then you're saying, I don't believe in the rule of law. And if you say yes, then nothing else matters. Sorry.
That's good.
Very hot over this.
I agree. I what do you make of the sort of Susan Collins, this like Alvin Bragg was out to get Trump. He made a promise he was going to get Trump, which I don't know is exactly true. But
Senator Collins.
Yes, you go ahead.
Is he guilty? I don't care if Alvin Bragg was out to get him, because if Alvin Bragg was out to get him and he wasn't guilty, then he wouldn't be guilty, right? I mean, I'm sorry. This is like, you know, like in The Social Network, you know, if you had invented Facebook, then you would have invented Facebook. Yeah. If he wasn't guilty, then he wouldn't be guilty. And it doesn't matter if the prosecutor is a bad person who hates dogs and kicks unicorns and was out to get him, because that didn't make the crimes happen. Right? That didn't create the evidence. That didn't violate the law as written. That didn't, you know, his motivations didn't impact what the jury was deliberating. It's fucking Susan Collins. You know, I said this on the show last night. I can see not the JVL response, right? Not one that I would like, but one I could accept from Republicans would be, the jury has spoken. I respect the jury and their verdict. I think it's possible this will be overturned on appeal because there are some technical questions about the application of the law vis-a-vis whether it's a misdemeanor or a felony of the underlying law. Right? That is not the JVL position, but that would be a responsible thing to say. And instead, the closest we've gotten is Mitch McConnell, who just says, I'm not quoting this exactly, but he's like, this will be overturned on appeal.
Yeah.
Right. And he leaves out the part where, you know, like, hey, we respect the jury verdict.
Sure.
You know, and that Mitch is the most
nice
has been
Mitch
the most
to come
reasonable
to Trump's
of
defense
all of these
on
people.
This.
Yeah. And so Susan Collins in her, you know, like at least she didn't say he's learned his lesson this time.
It's true. Did you see that they crashed when Red crashed because there were so many donations coming into Trump in solidarity?
$34 million he raised yesterday, I think. We just saw this in Slack. Just saw it. I believe it's $34 million. It is hard for me to see that and then believe that Republican voters don't want the strongman stuff, right? It's hard for me to see, like, oh, he was convicted of a felony, and that's when they really decided to open their pocketbooks and small dollar donations. That suggests to me that, you know, one of the things I've been saying a lot, you know, say there is a, what percentage, if we're going to draw the pie chart of the Republican voters, what percent are just like, I always vote Republican? What percent are like, I really want small government and lower taxes? And what percent are, I want a strongman?
Yeah.
I think the I want a strongman piece of the pie is bigger than we would like to admit. And you don't know, there's no way to know this with, you know, scientific certainty. But seeing $34 million in small dollar donations come in the, you know... in 6 hours after he was convicted of 34 felonies, I think that's a pretty fair piece of signal.
Yeah, but the response, the reason that he's raising so much money is a bunch of people who have decided that this is a miscarriage of justice. And I guess the part that I find surprising is that people who are not as far from us as many others, right? There's a bunch of people who are like, this is a miscarriage of justice. And there's the other people who are just like, yeah, it shouldn't have been brought. You know, it's like the Steve Hayes and Sarah Isger and, you know, it was kind of this like you shouldn't. It's the framing of prosecuting your political enemies, which is, of course, not what happened.
No.
What happened is that Donald Trump, like the DA brought charges when Donald Trump was no longer president and he got convicted in the trial. That's it.
Yeah. It's so simple. It's so simple. But I really do think for a small dollar donation to come, to go off of the, yeah, I think this is a suboptimal outcome and I'll still vote for him no matter what because he's the lesser of two evils. That's a different stance than the, oh, I'm going to reach for my checkbook.
Yeah.
And give money to the guy, right? Like you only give money when you're really, like when you're hot for a dude.
But the thing about the strongman stuff, I don't have pushback exactly. Because I agree. I'm not sure I think that I just think they don't care that he's a criminal and they think he's standing, you know, he's their avatar for smashing the system. But one of the things when we did our episode about Congress, the Focus Group Pod episode about Congress with Joe Perticone, you know, one of the things that I really came away with was the understanding that voters have things that they want. There are results that they want, but they don't want their political, they don't want their elected officials to compromise. So if you want outcomes out of, you know, you want something done on immigration, you want something done on healthcare, but you don't want them to go through the normal process of compromising with each other on around legislation, that's when you do want a strong man. Because you just want somebody to get results without any of the actual compromise of legislating.
Yeah.
And so that, to me, is where I see the strongman stuff.
Yeah.
They wouldn't tell you they want an authoritarian strongman. What they mean is they want the results without the compromise, without the mechanisms of a liberal democracy.
Well, and they view the country as being divided between real Americans and, like, fake Americans. right? And they are interested in, they are open to extra legal means to attain power.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's the, they've moved to a place which never really exists. I don't think really existed in America. Maybe somebody will tell me I'm wrong. Where, like, hey, but what if we could get alternate slates of electors? What if we could force this into the House of Representatives? Like, where those things are not, like, weird dorm room 2 a.m. after you've done a bunch of edibles. Like, you know, oh, then we could join, you know, fantasy politics. Now it's like, no, but we could do this, and that would get us power, and that would be fine.
Yeah. I guess I am. I guess I'm a little surprised by some of the more, the normies have picked this up as a, this was a bad thing.
I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm not. If you were basically down with him all the way until now, I don't think there's anything in this conviction that should move you off. Hmm. Right. This is where things got a little contentious last night.
Yeah. Tell me.
You know, Bill was like, this is an inflection point, but the Biden team has to make the case. And Tim was very, like, on this, too. And so was Egger. And I said, I don't know, guys. If we are 2 weeks from now and the polls are exactly the same, then smart people like us will be sitting around and saying, well, it's the Biden administration's fault because they either did this thing that we told them to do or they didn't do this thing that we told them to do, right? They'll say, see, because Biden got political about it and made a big thing of it, that's what made voters decide they didn't care. So if Biden does really lean into it the way Bill wanted to, and if Biden doesn't lean into it, then we'll say, see, Biden just didn't force the issue, and that's why voters. When the answer is actually that we are in a determinative moment, and not really a contingent moment. And like, voters just are where they are. And there is nothing we can do to shake them. Now, this is not like a marginal thing, because at the margins, I think that it is not determinative, right? I mean, we are looking at an election that's going to be determined by so few votes.
Yeah.
That there is contingency on that. But just in the broad sweep of like who we are as America and what we believe as people, I think that die has been cast. I do not believe that there is a universe in which 4 weeks from now the polls have moved 5 points.
Yeah, I don't think they moved five points.
I don't think there's a universe in which they could move 3 points.
Yeah, but can I just say there's not really inflection points now. There is only the meticulous case building against Trump. I mean, my take, the one that I tweeted for quotation, was it won't be a public opinion earthquake, but in an election where inches will matter, this just created a new barrier for undecided swing voters, which is voting for a convicted felon. And so, and I get a lot of comments and responses that say, what more kind of moron is undecided right now?
Lots
and I say, yeah, lots of people. And you know why? It's because they don't like either guy. Those are our double haters. And so we are on a slow case building mission to help people understand that they hate Trump more. And him being a convicted felon is a good data point on that. Although I will tell you, I agree with Bill and Tim is the idea of Biden prosecuting a case. I do think Biden needs to prosecute a case on Trump as a convicted felon.
Maybe he should. I can see the other side of that, though, which is that if he does that, he validates all of the concerns that this was a political prosecution, right? I mean, you can see it.
No, he had nothing to do with it,
right?
No, I can't. I feel very strongly that that this becomes the wagons are circling on the right, and from the extreme right. Extreme Trumpy right to the balls and strikes crowd who want to say that this was politically motivated. And I think that you got to push back against that hard. And I think that Biden's got to go on offense and start talking about all the things this guy's been convicted of.
Yeah. And again, I basically agree. with that. And I do believe that, that, you know, we can make things at the margins happen. But at the 30,000 foot view of who we are as a people, this people want this. This won't be any different than the insurrection or Charlottesville or you have to inject bleach into yourself or I like soldiers who don't get captured.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's really distressing to me.
Yeah.
I mean, that, again, it reeks of either decadence because people don't understand the seriousness of these things or a not so latent longing for authoritarianism. I mean, one of the two. Pick. I don't know which it is. And that, that to me is bad, right? I mean, as I said to the guys last night, I said, look, I mean, we're still going to wake up tomorrow morning in a country where 50% of the voters think that unemployment is at a 50-year high. Right? I mean, we live with a bunch of people who are living in unreality. And I'm sorry about that. Can we talk briefly about Peggy Noonan?
Sure, why?
She published a column yesterday.
Was it good?
The answer to that about Peggy Noonan's writing hasn't been yes in about 35 years.
I have a slightly softer spot for Peggy Noonan than you do.
The tragedy is that one of two old men, neither of them great, neither of them distinguished in terms of character or intellect, who are each in his way an embarrassment, and whom two-thirds of voters do not want as presidential candidates, will be chosen in this crucial historic moment in which the stakes could not be higher to lead the most powerful nation on earth. They're the same, Sarah. Neither of them are distinguished in terms of character or intellect, and each is, in his own way, an embarrassment.
It is funny to describe Trump as not distinguished in character. Like, as though that is the descriptor. He's just failed to distinguish himself.
He just isn't distinguished in either character or intellect. That's all.
Yeah, okay.
That's all.
Okay.
Have you ever read a single sentence more full of horse shit?
I'm sure that I have, but that is... Does she go on? What's the whole context of the piece?
The whole context of the piece is that both sides are terrible. Mm. Because both sides not only hate each other, but really get off on hating each other. And then we need to remember that we're all Americans. And so she...
Oh, see, I'm for this. She's getting in my wheelhouse.
Here's more Peggy. This is all... I have a huge section in the triad on her today. Yeah, she's like, when was the last time you saw anyone try to address the other side with respect and understanding and venture something like, I see you're seeing it this way, but I want to explain why I see it differently. And that way we might both understand each other and proceed with respect. And so I just quote a big thing from Joe Biden's State of the Union speech in which he's like, talking to Republican voters about immigration and trying to with respect and explaining how they can come together and that he is trying to meet their concerns. And, you know, and then I say, you know, so that's what the current president and the leader of the Democratic Party says. How does, you know, and then we've got Donald Trump is happy Memorial Day to all, including the human scum that is working so hard to destroy everyone. This is what I'm like. These are not the same. I'm sorry, Margaret, but we actually have what you say you want. He's the president. His name is Joe Biden. He does the things you want the way you say you want them. And she just sits there on the Upper West Side pretending that, you know, they're just the same. They're just the same.
I do not look care at those for the
mean
samesies.
Student protesters at Columbia. They're the same as Joe Biden. And even though they're not going to vote for Joe Biden, we're going to hang them around Democratic voters. That's great. That's great, Peggy. I just... Part of why we're here, Sarah, in this moment, is because people like Peggy Noonan do this.
I agree.
Right? The absolutely ludicrous, hilarious rejection of reality What Peggy Noonan says in this piece is no less untethered from reality than somebody who says that unemployment is at a 50-year high. She's just living in make-believe land.
I mean, yes, I agree. These topics are up for, I think I'm just jet lagged, but like I feel exhausted to even offer pushback on this. I think Biden's fine. I think he's fine. He's fine. He is absolutely acceptable on normal terms. And the idea that he is somehow uniquely disqualifiable the way that Trump is silly. That being said, you know, I don't think he's embarrassed. Like, I don't know what she means by embarrassing, but I don't know, man. I just do group after group, focus group after focus group, and they don't think Biden can walk or talk or communicate. The extent to which people are in a serious, weak, strong frame, Biden is too weak, Trump looks strong. It's just that is how people are thinking about this.
This is primate brain, right? This is how it is people brain. Think, right? Like, well,
have you
know,
seen that his speeches? I gotta say, I am. I think people. I know what people want today is to hear. Donald Trump got convicted, and that's great. But I watched his speech the other night, one of his rallies. He looks big, and he's got his big lunatic energy, and he's got a lot of energy. And people can take these like little cuts of him saying weird stuff, but like the fact is, there is a real difference between the way he presents and the way Biden presents, and I'm really worried about it. And that's why him being convicted is important. And his level of fitness, right? Because people are they're thinking in terms of fitness. You have to make the case that Trump is completely unfit.
Yeah.
Because he's up against somebody that people don't think is right, like should be in charge anymore.
I think that's basically right. And we got a debate coming, right? We're 4 weeks out from a debate.
Trump is going to be sentenced. 4 or 5 days right before the debate.
No, the convention.
I mean, the convention. Sorry.
Yeah.
The convention.
Yeah, he'll be sentenced right before the convention. And he'll raise a whole bunch more money when the sentencing comes down. And all of our Law and Order Republican and conservative friends will continue to beclown themselves on this.
They do. Can I actually say one thing that I think is funny? You know...
See, now you look weird without your glasses.
I know.
I texted you this last night.
I know.
I'm so used to you with glasses that, in the first time I was like, oh, she's wearing glasses. And now when you take them off, I'm like, wait a minute.
Is that my face?
Yeah. I know. I like this look, by the way. I said this to you last night. I think it's a really good look for you.
Thank you. It's not tremendously purposeful. This is how I look.
Just getting old. It's just old age.
Yeah, it is.
Coming to rob us.
I can't read anymore and I had to get glasses. Here's what's crazy to me. You got all these people, including like Bill, like our guys who are just like, you got to get Joe Biden out of there. You need to replace Joe Biden. You never hear anybody being like, replace Trump. He's
never.
A convicted felon. Like, it is wild to me that there's not a sense of like, we need somebody who can win. We need to get someone else in there.
Nope. Here's another one I was thinking about last night. You always hear, whenever some crazy leftist does something terrible, you hear, well, this is how you get Trump, right?
Yeah.
A bunch of students at Columbia who aren't going to vote for Biden anyway do something totally unconnected from Biden. In fact, because they're angry at Biden, and the response is, well, that's how you get Trump. It's 10 days ago now. 10 days ago, Donald Trump claimed that Joe Biden ordered his assassination.
I know.
That's a very serious thing to say, right?
I know.
A major party candidate says that the sitting president ordered him to be assassinated. And I don't even think the New York Times ran a story on this. Like, it's just like, you know, whatever. There is never this is how you get Biden. Right.
Yeah.
You know, Republicans are so crazy that they now don't even trust juries. and well, that's how you get by. That doesn't exist. It only goes one direction. Why? And I do mean that question as a why. Like, I'm not just lamenting like, oh, it's unfair. I'm just saying it's reality. That is somehow the world we live in, and I don't understand how and why that's the world we live in. Do you? I mean, because this is the same question as the why aren't Republicans trying to replace.
Yeah, I do know why. And I mean, it's Trump. There's a bunch of answers. No. It's the bifurcated media. It's new incentives among the conflict entrepreneurs and the disinformation merchants and the extent to which people don't hear. I mean, you know, this is why even though I'm like in a bit of a stupor because I am coming off a bunch of travel and speeches, like I'm just watching the normie set give permission today for other independent center-right folks who really should be like, Trump's a criminal who's been doing crimes constantly and he just got pinched for one. And like, maybe it's not the biggest one he did, but it was still a crime and a jury found him guilty. And instead, they are talking about this like two-tier justice system, you know, Trump persecuted. Like, it's just, and that's why. That is the permission people get, right? So to the extent that you've got, right? So lots of people, and you know who's been crazy on this is Megyn Kelly. Megyn Kelly is out there just rip shit, acting like this is the grossest, that we're like, this is, I see it all over. People calling us a banana republic, just like sort of the normal anti set. This is banana republic stuff. I don't understand this. No, in a banana republic, a president's just allowed to do crimes and no one does anything about it.
Mm. Yes. Ding, ding, ding.
And so, but that is why. Why do voters think that? Okay, well, we've got everybody that they look to understand how to think about this, right? You get normal voters who are like, boy, I think it's kind of bad that he would get convicted of a crime. But literally everyone they read, including the people who are... They're there to tell people that actually what's happening right now is terrible. And so that's why people believe that it's terrible what's happening, as opposed to having a normal, responsible, center-right set of voices who are saying, you know what? It's actually pretty bad to nominate a president who's been convicted of a felony and of sexual assault. Like, what do these guys think? That he has so many impeachments and investigations and litigation because he's you know what? This idea that this would never happen if Trump ran for president. You're right, guys. It's true. Donald Trump was getting away with all kinds of fraud, all kinds of gross business behavior, is a disgusting person. Had his wife at home with the 4-month-old while he's just sleeping with a random porn star, which is not, it's not just like he did it one time or he like fell in love. He's on his third wife and is just cheating on her while she's had a kid. And like, nobody's like, that's gross. And then he didn't wanted to keep it coming out from out. So he was paying the National Enquirer this whole time to just catch and kill all his stories. Like every single thing about this is tawdry and disgusting and filled with illegality. And actually, you know, of all the political interference from 2016, I'm not sure this didn't have some of the biggest implications.
Hey, again, it's JVL. If you can imagine, the conversation actually goes on from there and gets even a little more fiery. If you want to hear the rest of the show, head on over to Bulwark Plus and subscribe. We'd love to have you.
Into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.